96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 2018 starts off with a big news bang. President Trump bristling over a White House tell-all book, buzz about Oprah 2020, retailer H&M apologizing after a racial faux pas seen around the world, and images of Baltimore City school children shivering in class because of lack of heat. Lots to talk about tonight. We're talking about those issues at the Reporters Roundtable. I'm joined by political analysts Lindsey Perry and Brandon Cooper. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Lindsey, Brandon, Happy New Year, and welcome back to the program.
Happy New Year. Thank you for having me.
Well, let us start right off the top. President Trump says his administration will actually take a close look at the nation's libel laws.
When somebody says something that is false and defamatory about someone, that person will have meaningful recourse in our courts.
That was at the White House yesterday. Trump said current libel laws are a sham and a disgrace and do not represent American values or fairness. This, of course, comes on the heels of the release of Michael Wolff's tell-all book, Fire and Fury. Lindsey, is he serious? Should we be concerned? What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, he's the president. I don't know how serious he is about actually changing the laws, because he cannot do that unless he actually backs a Supreme Court justice that does so. But I will say defamation of character is a problem, not only in a public figure specter, but just the way that it ruins people's lives. And so if we're going to actually take a look at libel laws, we need to do it not just for, you know, celebrity status, but all across the board. And we also need to think about, these are state and local issues, by the way. So we also need to think about in terms of publications, print, broadcast, when they publicize something, we're thinking about big six media conglomerates that have a bottom line. So most times when they put something out, it's not always true. And we as American people, yes, we need balance and yes, we need fairness, but we can't trust six media corporations who claim to be, you know, the tell-all, be-all for information. We can't actually trust them to tell us the actual truth. Even though journalism is supposed to bring out the truth, they don't. So I actually do think that we need to take a closer look at libel laws, because if you say something about someone, lies should not be legal.
But okay, and I think you make an interesting point. But right now, Fire and Fury, the book by Michael Wolff, while there are parts of it that some would consider, you know, questionable, and I think there may very well be a vetting process for this book down the road, Wolff has said that much of the information came from former chief strategist Steve Bannon. And the one thing that Steve Bannon has said all week since losing his second job and commenting and apologizing, he has not said that anything in the book that he is quoted as saying is not true.
Yeah, he apologized for saying it, but not so much to the veracity of it. But I think it's very interesting to see that Steve Bannon somehow in a year has now become a darling of, you know, opponents to Trump. It's interesting. But to the issue about libel laws, I agree with you, Lindsey. That need to be looked at. I've been a victim of some, you know, unflattery or unfavorable news coverage. But to the point about Trump and whether he's serious or not, we don't know what he says sometimes. And what he didn't go into detail about what aspect of libel law. So we're kind of left to kind of assume what he's trying to say. But looking at other countries, this definitely is unique. The standard for celebrities like Trump or public figures is extremely high.
Right.
For him to prevail in a lawsuit against this bookmaker, he would have to show that the bookmaker knew what he was saying was false. And in other countries, UK, for example, it's reversed, whereas it's not the person being victimized that has to prove it. It's the person who is making the claims has to prove that it's true.
Right.
So we are different in that standard, that we are the ones where we say the burden's on the person who's a victim to prove that it's actually going to be that it was actually false.
But you made an interesting point. You said you yourself have been The target of unfavorable and unflattering.
Untruthful.
Yeah, okay. Untruthful. Okay.
Just flat out untrue.
Okay, because that, I was going to say, because that's the difference.
You're a difference, right.
It can certainly be unfavorable. It can be unflattering. But there's a difference between negative, unfavorable, unflattering news coverage and untruthful.
That's what I'm trying to make the difference of.
Yeah.
Exactly. That clarification. But untrue is where the boundary, I think, the line goes to. And Lindsay's point is, there has to be some kind of recourse for that.
Absolutely.
There is some already in the law. And again, Trump didn't go into detail what he meant. He kind of, you know, as he usually
does. He's taking it personally with the book. But, I mean, him saying it is actually sparking the idea that, maybe we should take a look at libel laws.
But hold on. But hold on here, because in the case of the president, his taking things personally did not start with this book.
No, absolutely not.
And first of all. Secondly, should we be concerned about the bigger issue of First Amendment? We see him defending the Second Amendment. Whenever he talks, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, of course, he just jumps right over the first one and goes right to the Second Amendment. But when it comes to the First Amendment, freedom of speech, he seems to have a problem with it unless he's the one doing the free speaking.
Yeah, and to that point again, to your point, the only way it's going to change is either the Constitution changes or Supreme Court changes.
Supreme Court, yeah.
Our Constitution is unique. Not many other countries have as amendment saying that we have a free press.
Right.
And so to that issue, I agree wholeheartedly. Free press is a cornerstone of our country.
Yeah, but free press without lying.
Absolutely. absolutely. And let us take this one step further. Because the president has said, and we still do not know, he said today, no collusion today at the press conference when he was with the president of Norway. And as we, as we often hear and we have seen, whether it was a Bill Clinton or a Richard Nixon, it didn't happen. And these things aren't true until
these things are true.
Right. Okay. So certainly, something else to consider. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. Let's talk about the Oprah 2020 buzz. I know you guys saw the Golden Globes. I mean, you had to see the Golden Globes. Did you see the?
I saw highlights after.
I watched the clip. Yeah, absolutely.
You did. I mean, this had to be the most. I can't believe it. I can get some new reporters in.
I will give the Golden Globes ratings when they pay me. How about that?
But I mean, honestly, from a historic point of view, not only Oprah, but also speaking about the sexual harassment issue in Hollywood, this really was the forum. This was that. But the thing that came out of it was the Oprah 2020 thing. Your thoughts about the buzz about Oprah running in 2020, even though she hasn't really said anything much about it at all.
Well, first of all,
said some things, though.
Of course.
She confirmed
some things. But I love Oprah, right? She's just a woman of compassion. And her Golden Globe speech was great, but Oprah has been giving inspirational speeches since the 80s. So the reaction of, oh, my God, it was a great speech. Don't get me wrong. But if you study Oprah and you go on YouTube, I mean, she's been doing this since the 80s. So this is nothing new. And I've been saying Oprah for president for a long time, but in this case, I feel as though running for president would be beneath her. I mean,
interesting. Really? Why do you say that?
Absolutely. I mean, she's a wonderful businesswoman, but in terms of being a figurehead and that person, she represents everything we would need. I would like to see her endorse or kind of push the candidate, the next black woman, because she basically sparked the idea in so many women and so many public officials that, we can do this in 2020. Black women, we can be the president in 2020. It doesn't have to be some far-fetched idea. Oprah is a black woman of many firsts, so only time will tell. If she does decide to run, she will be the first black woman president, and it could definitely happen. But I certainly would like to see her more engaged in different policies, and we don't know exactly what her policies and her politics would be, right? We know that she's a compassionate woman, but when it comes down, she is a billionaire. So what affects her doesn't necessarily affect someone, who makes $30,000 a year and is a different tax bracket. So that's certainly only time will tell. But I love Oprah. If she decided to run, I would definitely love to campaign for her because I think she's great. And I would love to help her with her messaging if she needs help with that. But Michelle Obama, maybe, and she is behind that, or maybe her in the cabinet. But I just feel like she's so free.
Yeah.
The presidency would lock her down. Like I just.
How do you really feel about this, Lindsay?
No. I'm sorry. Look, you asked. Somebody wants to interject there.
Go,
so.
Brandon, go right
ahead.
All
I'll add to that point, I agree with you. You know, everyone loves Oprah. I love Oprah as well. And everyone loves you until you run for office. Let's not forget Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Chuck Schumer were all fans of Donald Trump before he started running for, or before the birth of but before he started running for office. So I think, you know, like you said, we don't know what she does, you know, on any of her positions, really. We know her personality, which we all love. But once she, if she decides to make that step, you'll be surprised. And I'm already seeing a little bit on my social media feed some of my conservative friends who are already out there pulling out things.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, she didn't even announce yet.
Yeah.
And they're already a little scared. So, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, everybody loves everybody before you run for office. When your name's out there, that's when lies come out.
And when I say beneath, I'm talking about living a life of freedom, being able to move the way that you want to move. When you become the president of the United States, that just doesn't happen.
And one more,
I'm not saying
I
in
said,
terms of
I,
I'm just
said,
correct. I'm just correcting you because I don't want you getting my words. You know.
No, Lindsay, not at all. I said this. You were not part of this conversation. I said that earlier this week when we were having the a discussion about that same thing. I said the one thing that Oprah Winfrey and Donald Trump would have in common is getting you, aside from the billions, is coming from a life where they can do anything that they could possibly want to do.
Absolutely.
They're, you know, the lion's share of Oprah Winfrey's career, the lion's share of Donald Trump's career has been one of being the boss.
Right.
And making your own rules, good or bad.
Right.
Making your own rules. But as we have seen, President Trump has found that when you are a government employee.
Exactly.
Living in government housing. there are rules that need to be followed or else you will have other branches of government giving you the side eye. And I think, you know, even dismissing the tongue-in-cheek piece, I think I agree that that would probably be something that would be difficult for Oprah Winfrey or anyone like that.
And her team is tight. We don't know a lot of information about her private life. She could be married for real. We wouldn't even know that. I'm just
Let her run for office. We'll find out real soon.
right.
But even Donald Trump, there's been interviews in the past. I remember when he was thinking about running back in 2013, and they asked him about running mates. He mentioned Oprah. So even, you know, they've been together. They have their friends, their friendly billionaire club, whatever it is. It would be interesting to see. But I hope not, though.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable. We're talking about some of the top stories of the week. Of course, we're talking about the president upset about the tell-all book, Fire and Fury, and wanting to challenge libel laws. We're also talking about Oprah Winfrey 2020. Also, retailer H&M has apologized for that racial faux pas seen around the world where a young black child, a black model, male model, was seen with a T-shirt with a monkey on it. And the statement,
coolest monkey in the jungle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know, definitely problematic. H&M has issued an apology. It says that it has agreed with those who were upset about the image and that they were deeply sorry that the picture was taken and that they regret the actual print. I think the biggest problem with the H&M situation is for black people, Brandon, you see it and you say, in 2018, how can that happen?
That is a good question. When I saw it, you know, it definitely was a little striking to me. But I, you know, want to add to that point. I think we all know the mother of the model.
She wasn't upset.
She was there.
She
had upset about
it.
So I think, you know, I like social media, but I hate the social media activism. I don't know you know, HMO apologized, it's history, you know, apparently it was wrong. But if the mother of the child is there in the press interview and she did not, in the photo shoot and didn't see an issue with it, you know, Tom on social media, on Twitter, is going to, you know, tweet his comments and condemn the mother and embarrass the child. It's crazy, but I did like, was it Jay-Z came out with $1 million contract? So at least something's good.
That was Diddy.
Somebody's coming to Sean Coles, whatever his name is
now. It was Diddy. For Sean, John, the Brother Love, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but as long as something positive coming out this story.
I have something I want to say. I know we're going to break before
though. Before you say that, I will let you make your point. Also, we're going to talk to Kim. She wants to talk about the H&M campaign. Kim, don't hang up. Walter calling from Northeast and Kwesi, I believe that's what it is. Also, he wants to talk about Oprah, so stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with political analyst Lindsay Perry and Brandon Cooper. Also, Tanisha, who's on her social media page, apparently.
Hey, Tanisha,
yeah, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about President Trump being upset about U.S. libel laws and the things that have come out of the new book by Michael Wolff, Fire and Fury. Also, the Oprah 2020 buzz and the apology from retailer H&M over the racial faux Paul, let me go to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim, thank you for being patient. What's on your mind? Kim?
Oh, hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Well, I was listening to your conversation earlier, and you were saying that the mother was actually there, and I had not heard that before. And my concern is that if the mother is okay with it, then what does that say about us as Black people? Because she's okay with it. It went to print. Are we willing to do whatever just to get to the next phase and whatever it is we're trying to do?
Well, I think that they're from a different country. I'm not sure what country, but they're not from the United States.
I believe
States.
They're from the U.K.
Yeah, from the U.K. And so American racism is, even though racism is all over the world, it's a global issue, American racism is different from U.K. She didn't see the problem with it, and she said it's not that she didn't understand where other people were coming from. Her beliefs are different. She says that people are crying wolf. And I wouldn't agree with her in terms of crying wolf, because I do think that representation is important, and I do believe that if a Black child in America understands the undertone and racism behind what being a monkey is, that we need to make sure that we counteract that with an I am statement. I am royal. I am king. I am queen. We do need to do that. But I also have a problem with social activism in the sense that every fight is our fight, except for the fights that, you know, that really do matter in terms of the distraction. I mean, we have midterm elections. It's 2018, and nobody's fighting the fact that they see a Cash Advance store on every single corner, or a liquor store on every single corner, or the fact that our musicians are being paid by these large. H&M is a large corporation.
Hold on. Go ahead. Let's not get off the point.
What's the point?
I want to stick to this issue because everything that you just said was important. But if you want to list all the social ills that are affecting Black folks.
No, I'm not going to do that.
My point is, that's not what we're talking about.
But what are we fighting for?
My point is that I'm suggesting that we still need to make sure that ignorance and racism in every form needs to be addressed. Just like the Kansas representative just this week who had to step down because the little teeny town, little teeny meeting, caught on social media making racist comments about African Americans and marijuana use that were not true. And so I think that if you don't address that, then, you know, then are we going to start seeing blackface and not address it?
But don't we see it already in advertisements? Without the black face, you see some, you know, like I hate this commercial. Nobody is protesting this commercial. That Crown Royal commercial with JB Smooth dancing in the, like, it just seemed, oh, it looks so great, but it looks like he's shucking and jiving to me.
Popeye's commercial caused me a little trouble.
McDonald's commercials. Everything. I'm just saying, the Popeye's lady, why?
Yeah, that bothers me a little bit. But right. I got to that point. About, you know, I would never wear that T-shirt at H&M. I would never wear that T-shirt. But
pull your resources from H&M.
You know, we're worried about being called monkeys. You know, I hear too much in our current culture being called ninjas. We don't flinch at all about that.
Right.
If I see some of the music videos and what some of the ladies are dressing like,
right,
I'd rather wear that hoodie than some of the outfits I see Yolanda is wearing. So
absolutely.
I think that, you know, we pick and choose kind of like what we're going to talk about, which is convenient. You know, it's convenient to talk about somebody in the UK when I talk about the issues here. So I do kind of see the mother's point about, I won't say so much crying wolf, but being selective in our outrage.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, and again, I agree, that hoodie, we never wear it, and it was obviously uncomfortable, but there's a lot of other issues as well, close to their home.
Absolutely.
That we are overlooking.
Let's
Absolutely.
See what, thank you, Kim, for your phone call. We've got another Kim. Kim calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Did we lose Kim? Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Walter. Walter calling from Northeast. Thanks for calling, Walter. What's on your mind?
Well, happy New Year to all you.
Happy New
Happy
Year.
Happy New Year.
And I am a black man, but I'm afraid in 2020, if Oprah Winfrey becomes president, I'm running.
Why do you say that?
Why?
Because remember the exhale movement where she, I mean, Oprah is a feminist, no matter what. And on her show, she and Terry McMillan empower black women to be empowered. You can do anything you want. You don't need a man to do for you. You can do for yourself. The sad thing is that Oprah is a feminist. And we have to remember that Oprah is rich, and again, just like Donald Trump, she may not like being a politician. She'll win, but is the difference between running a government and running your own business?
Okay, so and certainly, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. Apparently, you're not a fan of feminists. But, you know, there are some people who would say that Oprah.
I'm an auntie, though.
Right.
Right. Reclaiming my time. I'm sorry about that. Some people would say that Donald Trump is racially insensitive. At least some would call him racist. And he, like Oprah, is a business person. And in this country, you don't have to have a background in politics in order to run for
right.
president or dog catcher.
Right. Ooh.
Walter.
But I also, yes, Oprah has everything to become president. But I'm just, the feeling is that Oprah is anti-black. Anti-man, especially anti-black.
No, I don't think she's anti-man, and I don't think she's anti-black man. I think that's an accusation. I think that you're scared because you're afraid of this empowerment of women, that it'll somehow diminish masculinity in society, and I don't think that that's true. Oprah does have a man, had the same man for 30 years, so I don't think she...
Are they married?
You don't know that. We don't know that.
But
maybe
even,
she wants to
even,
keep it secret.
Married,
okay.
The thing is, but I'm trying to make a little bit of a joke. But the real theory is that if feminism and chauvinism is who wants to be the boss.
Right.
And I just don't see it. And I hope if Oprah does run, I hope she does well, but I hope she never be president. Y'all have a good night.
All right. Well, thank you, Walter. gosh, I should have asked him who he voted for. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Is it Kwesi calling from Maryland?
Yes, it's Kwesi.
Kwesi. Hey, Kwesi. How are you? What's on your mind?
Good. How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Excellent. I think that when we look at the office of the presidency, we have to consider that the presidents have to make decisions about people, whether they live or die. And Oprah, her platform is all about living a good life, living the best life that you possibly can live as a human being.
Yeah.
And that the rights of living
right.
is the rights of all. So in our current situation, that we are in, that the fact that we are in war, that we are in conflict with different countries. I'm not sure if her morals or values would stand up to the job as a president, number one. Hmm. And I think what we need to look at when we talk about presidencies, we need to look at people that represents the diverse amount of people. So I'm for a black woman. Mm-hmm. I'm for a white woman or an Asian woman or an Asian man, because our society in America is diversified like that. And I'm a little tired about seeing white men. I have nothing against white men, but our country is not made up of all white men.
Right.
So when we look at, we talk about this, we need to be very serious in understanding the type of job we're talking about here.
Here's the thing, Kwesi, about the whole let's be very serious. We can talk about President Trump. Let us assume that the information that has come out in Fire and Fury about election night, and that he was surprised that he won, if that is true, that his wife was, you know, crying tears of anguish because it's not something that, you know, that she wanted. And the speculation is in the book that this was just
marketing for his business.
Exactly. Marketing for his business. And now he's the president. Some could have argued before election night that he was not serious, and that's what the book is suggesting. And so, you know, I'm not so sure I follow you when you're suggesting, at least it sounds to me like you're suggesting, that Oprah would not be serious.
I'm not suggesting that Oprah would not be serious.
Are you saying that she's all about people living?
I'm saying it's a conflict of interest with her personal morals and values.
So you're saying that the president would have to make a decision in terms of death, and you don't think that Oprah would be able to, because I've heard this said before, in order to be the president, you have to be okay with killing someone.
No, okay with it. I don't think that anybody
is okay with it. And this is what he's saying.
Oprah leads a campaign that embodies the power of your soul.
Right.
And everything that she is and everything that she has been successful with has been through the power of her soul and God and higher beings.
Right.
She promotes that. How can a person on that level then have to set aside her personal lifetime beliefs and then make a decision on whether or not a person, people
That's
live
given
or
if
die.
Everything remains the same, unless there's a paradigm shift.
I'll just say, looking at the last 45 presidents, I don't think morality has been a standard that's required, whether
perhaps,
good or bad.
Right.
An office of president changes you. Obama said it himself. I can see, I think, in myself, a little change in Donald Trump, a little bit, a year into it, compared to some of the things he said in his campaign. So, and to the previous call, this is the point about Oprah, you're talking about the feminist views. I think also it may cause some problems with her views on faith. I saw some clips going around, and, you know, every president up to this point has been a down and about Christian. I mean, every president has.
Exactly. So what Kwesi's saying, I agree. What, you know, Bill Clinton, Baptist, Jimmy Carter, Baptist, all of them professing to Barack Obama.
They confess
Christian.
Me with their heart, their mouths, but their hearts are far from me.
Professing to pray before sending men and women into harm's way. I mentioned the Democrats, but we could talk about George H.W. Bush or George Walker Bush. So, you know, I just because she may be talking about her faith and her support, Kwesi, of life and all of these other kinds of things, when you're sitting in that office, I would dare say that there is a transfer.
I'll say Obama.
I think that Kwesi is saying Oprah is too good to be president,
or is he saying she's too soft?
I say Obama. You know, he won the Nobel Peace Prize his first year in office. His last year in office, he was dropping 10,000 bombs on the Middle East. Okay, the office of president changes you. I don't think she'll have a problem if she does decide to run on being able to execute the duties of the presidency.
But Kwesi, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. zero. One of the other things that I did want to mention about this H&M piece is that the mother, notwithstanding, I think this brings home the issue that there are not enough Black people who have an institutional knowledge or historical perspective in these boardrooms, in these marketing offices where these things can happen. And even when and sometimes when you just hire the Black guy or the Black gal, you don't always hire someone who has that knowledge.
Or you look at that Pepsi commercial with Kylie Jenner, how'd that get off the market? Yeah. The shea butter, you know, issue. It was rolled out.
I'm sorry, they're strategic. They knew exactly. It goes through a level. No, they knew what they were doing.
You
they
think
got
so?
The absolutely
incompetence and intention sometimes are masked the other. So I think, you know,
conspiracy.
It's a Swedish company. What do they care? We got the American reaction. They're talking about us.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation at the Reporters Roundtable. Let's go to Clay. Clay, calling from Las Vegas. Clay, what's happening? What's on your mind?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead. Go ahead. Turn your radio down. Go right ahead, Clay.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. We're waiting on you. Go right ahead, please.
Okay, I just wanted to make a point about the enough that's growing in America that you can find celebrities that are well-known personalities and run them for the office of president. You know, we have a lot of jobs and professions in this country that has a criteria for the office. To run for president, we say there is no criteria. And the American public, really, I would say the electorate, has come to the notion that I like a person, they'll make a nice president, they're a good personality, they're this and that, but they have no competency when it comes to actually being president. And we've experienced that. And it seemed to me like it didn't phase anyone that we have someone in office that doesn't have a clue even about the operation of government or the Constitution. And I could make a whole list of things that this person is incompetent and blatantly incompetent on. And we are willing to even suggest a notion, make a notion that someone else of that same caliber, not character, not morally comparable to each other, but competency, it fits the presidency.
Well, but, you know, here's the thing, Clay. I think competency sometimes is one of those intangible things. One could have argued that in the early 1960s, if somebody said that that Hollywood actor Ronnie Reagan could eventually become governor of California and president, Ronald Reagan, the almost matinee idol. You know, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, again, the action hero with who could, you know, barely speak clear English, ended up being also the governor of California. And this isn't a California thing.
Or Barack Obama. I mean, again, Bill Clinton's biggest during the primary, his biggest critique of Obama was that a few years ago he'd be getting my coffee. It was that he was inexperienced and not able to do it. So I hate this idea that, you know, you have that experience. And also, I look back at the last 45 presidents. Every single one of them were celebrities. I mean, for you to win a national election, they have to know you prior to election day. And that's, you know, so, I mean, every president we ever had was a national celebrity before they became president.
And one could argue that levels of competency, Clay, varied from president to president. And defining what being competent, I think leadership is one of those intangibles also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't, I mean, you don't have to have political experience to be a great leader. Oprah Winfrey has, you know, built several businesses and developed several teams and even started a school in Africa without being a citizen of Africa. So I think that that's something to really look at in terms of competence. agency. If you have, if you're very diplomatic, you have leadership skills. Those are qualities that I believe you're born with, and then they're cultivated. I don't think you just, you know, become a leader all of a sudden. You're born one, and I think that's something that we need to look into. I mean, she's run multi-million dollar companies. So has Donald Trump, but she also has the compassion and the heart and the morality to be president of the United States.
Yeah, I'm not chopping for Oprah to run for office, but I think if, you know, Donald can do it, she can do it. But I think
Absolutely.
To Clay's point, he's right about the skills part and that we do need, you know, people. I think we've gotten, you know, away from statesmen, people who have, you know, worked in public service. And I don't like that trend of going to people who are, you know, like you said, just celebrities and nothing else.
Right.
We need something else beyond that and just not the title.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But do you think that those things can be learned? You can teach skills. You can teach skills, but you can't teach leadership.
I don't think the president is a learn on the job type of thing. So I want you to know those skills.
No.
President. Oh, okay.
Right. But no, it's not. No, you should have those skills. But what I'm saying, you can teach specific skills. And when you're developing a team, the president doesn't know everything. So you want a leader who hires the greatest of greats around them, wise counsel, to tell them which moves to make. If your president is the smartest person in the room, then that's a problem, to be truthfully honest. I mean, you need to surround yourself.
If you think Obama
people.
Knew a lot about health care or Trump knew about taxes, they didn't.
No,
they
didn't. They had people around them.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think, Clay, as Brandon said, certainly in modern politics, celebrity, what am I saying, modern politics, George Washington was probably one of the best well-known
American.
Individuals on the planet.
Yeah.
And they didn't have social media. So, something to think about. But, Clay, thank you so much for your input. But I think, again, celebrity and the presidency seem more and more likely to go together. And one of the things that we were talking about during the break, we were talking about some of the challenges that Oprah may have, whether it's, you know, being a feminist or not being married. But I would argue that after the 2016 campaign, those things are probably small potatoes, you know, compared to, you know, audios of grabbing women and
by their genitalia,
some of the other kinds of things that Donald Trump was able to overcome and become president.
I do think that a representation of black family like we had with the Obamas is very important in having a black woman in office. I would like to see a black woman be a wife and be, you know, all those things that you can have it all. I would love to see that. Unfortunately, you know, Oprah is not married. She does not have children, but we'll see. Also, instead of talking about 2020, it is 2018, and people need to vote because we are in a midterm election. So I also think that us focusing so heavily on Oprah 2020 is distracting us from the fact that we need to be focusing on some of these local elections.
See, there you go.
We all need a break.
No, because you want to segue into Baltimore.
We all need a break from.
Yeah, we all need a break. But what about the kids in Baltimore and the schools with no heat? They don't get a break. So we need to be talking about that. I'm just saying.
Now, here's my question, because they didn't just run out of that. Their heat issue didn't just start during the coldest days in years. This has been a long-standing issue,
and it's a local issue.
It
That's
is
what
a local
I'm trying to say.
Exactly. But this one could argue that this was a bureaucratic issue,
right,
in that the money that Baltimore City had received years ago had to be sent back because of you know,
mismanagement.
Exactly.
And to that point, though, you know, there's a poll released yesterday, a Gonzalez poll in Maryland. There's a gubernatorial election coming up, maybe the first black governor of Maryland later this year. They asked Democrat voters in Maryland, what was the number one issue for them? Was it education? Nope. Was it jobs? Was it affordable housing? No. The number one issue for Democrats in Maryland was getting rid of Trump. And to your point, that's for 2020. 2018, there are issues on a local level that
Serious.
Are not going to be fixed by Trump. And I think that is a larger issue that we in our community are focusing on the issues that are going to impact the school children of Baltimore.
And that is the danger of national media.
Yeah.
That's all we talk about. 24/7, a 24/7 news cycle. It's Trump, 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 Trump. And we're not talking about these local issues. The highest paid officials in Baltimore City are probably, what, the police officers and the sheriffs? We need
and the
to
school
be,
administration officials making six figures.
And they have no heat. feet.
Yeah. Baltimore City has the highest administration cost of any school district in the country. And one more last point to the fact about, and I lost my train of thought, but to the administration and the funding in Baltimore, that's the issue. It's not a lack of funding. It's a lack of management of the funds.
But let me also say that Alexandria also had school heat problems.
And when did it get fixed?
This has just come up just yesterday.
Okay. And
schools were closed.
No,
kids in coats.
What I'm saying is
frozen pipes. Go ahead.
Yeah, you've got the situation in Baltimore. The optics are very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. When you've got school age black children shivering in the classroom. And yes, the heat should work and the pipes should not burst. But that also should not be an issue at JFK. I mean, this
anywhere.
Yeah, in America.
And I was at the board meeting.
But nature is a monster.
I was at the board of education meeting last night when they talked about it. And one of the parents in the audience made a good point. The heat issue is just the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
There is a
no
whole
pun
other
intended.
Issues.
Yeah.
All right. There's other issues in the county. They had earlier this year 6 high schools in the city, 0 students proficient in math and reading. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on, and this is the tip of the iceberg, and it's causing greater conversation we need to have. But to your point, you're right. It's not just the heat. It's a bigger systematic issue.
Yeah. Well, and certainly 2018 and beyond, I think that education is really an example of some of the broader social issues.
These are human rights issues to me. I just feel like you should be able to be educated in a place that's comfortable, where you have heat, and it's a problem that we expect for our children to have these conditions like they're prisoners. This is a school to prison pipeline situation. It really is.
Yeah, add to this, I think again, I don't want to get too partisan, but I think everybody knows Betsy DeVos' name. She's a household name.
And this is a big
10% of local funding for schools come from Betsy DeVos.
Right.
90% comes from your governor and your state officials.
Right.
Name the school board chairman in your local county.
You can't.
Everyone knows Betsy DeVos by name. And I think that goes to the part about me. I think sometimes we're not on this table right now, but our community sometimes has been hijacked, I think, by the Democrat Party. The biggest issue for the Democrat Party is Trump. The biggest issue for the black community is not Trump. There's other issues that predated November 2016, which you need to be addressing for.
Absolutely.
But all we're focused
food
on
deserts.
Is fighting,
exactly.
Trump.
Without getting back to your list.
Okay, because I want to talk about it. Nobody else is, but go ahead.
No, and we can talk about it, let's stay on point during mm-hmm. these last few seconds. This issue didn't just start last week. And this goes back to the heart of the infrastructure of our cities, and specifically our urban school district.
If ever Republicans running it, we'll be name and dropping. But I think for some teams, we play with the kid gloves when it's people from a party that we like. I really do think so.
Your interest. Stop being Democrat and Republican.
I agree.
And be independent.
I agree.
Do you have one more list? One more issue. Just one.
Love God.
There you go.
This is Lord.
Lindsay Perry, Brandon Cooper, thank you so much. Again, Happy New Year. Thank you so very, very much. And I'll be talking to you both soon. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for Lorna Newton and The Connection. Good night.